Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two, what's happening? Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. And we have a lot of items and issues to talk with our next guest, who's in studio, by the way. Third overall pick back in 2005, Ann Arbor, Michigan, by the Browns, big season, 16 touchdowns, went to my Jets. As soon as he walked in, I said, hey, that 80-yard bomb you hold against the Colts in a playoff game from Sanchez, I remember that for a long time. Brandon Edwards is here. What's up, buddy?
Doing good, fellas, man. Thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Yeah, man, really? You just saying that?
I don't have to blow smoke.
Okay.
You read the book, I don't blow smoke.
I like it. Yeah, that's
doing
true.
Doing it my way is the name of your book. What does that mean? What is that telling us, doing it my way, about you, really?
Right. So Tom Van Herren of ESPN co-wrote the book with me as well. And when we first started talking about writing the book, what was the book going to be about? What were we going to learn? I was listening to Frank Sinatra, like, when he came over. So he comes over to my house. I'm, like, listening to Frank Sinatra, like, getting my office cleaned up for him. He was like, you a Frank guy? I'm like, come on, man, doing it my way.
Everybody is.
So literally, 100%. So literally, we had the book title in the first 3 minutes of our interaction. That's hard. It wasn't planned. And he came on. He said, we should call it Doing It My Way. And once we had the book title, we just ran with it. It was very easy to write. It kind of flowed. It was, you know, I've done some things, said some things, been a part of some things, and I don't regret any of it, but I just want it to be come out of my mouth. I want it to come out of my mouth. So that's what the book is about.
Did he trademark that saying? How did he not trademark? I mean, you have to pay royalties to use that for the book?
LeBron, hey, he better get on it for LeBron, Doug.
That's right. Taco Tuesday. Oh, my God. All right. So you want to start? Let's start with Michigan. We'll start. Then we'll get to the Browns. Then we'll work your way to the Jets and compelling chapters all along the way.
I feel like I went to a Michigan game with Steve Ross. And I met your father?
Or Stan. Stan played at Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably did, though. Stan's up there a lot.
Yeah, I feel like I did. We were talking about you because I think you were at Cleveland, but then ultimately you ended up with BT's Jets. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I remember meeting your fam. So
Stan is he's one of a kind, man. He's a great guy, man. He's a great guy.
If you didn't go to Michigan, where were you going to go?
You know, it's interesting. I would have went to Cal, who got Aaron Rodgers. So I would have played with A-Rod because I think he came – my sophomore year would have been his first year. Or I would have went to Vanderbilt, who had Jay Cutler.
Wow. So you're smart about, guy, this brother.
I'm telling you.
A couple of good academic schools right there.
But you don't think about, like, who you're going to play with. You know what I mean?
At that point.
Nowadays, kids do that.
True.
It's a good question.
What year was this? Early 2000s?
01, yes, yeah. 2001.
Maybe you were thinking about that
Kind of, sort of. Because, you know, you start to pay attention to – you know, I think Dave Carr went, number one overall in 2000.
Yeah.
2001. Yep. And Vic went overall 2000. So you start to
Tim Couch.
Exactly, Tim Couch. So you watch out of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So you watch it like, I'm trying to play with a guy that's, you know, going to get it done on Sunday or has that prototypical pro-style offense. So, and then Drew Henson was at Michigan. So it was like, Drew would have won the Heisman if he would have stayed.
How good was he as a quarterback?
He was great, man, because he was very athletic, more athletic than Tom. At the same time, had the schematics down like Tom, took his time with the game.
Talking about Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, I apologize. There's only one.
Yeah, that's true. Second name not really needed.
Not terrific.
True. Brady. Yeah, there you go. Say it right. So he had the schematics down like him. He worked hard. He was a tough guy like we were talking about earlier off air.
Yeah.
He had it, man. He had that moxie. You know, he had that. He walks in the huddle. It's like, okay, we can strap our boots.
Why did he ultimately decide to pursue baseball? Was he better at
baseball?
He got paid
in baseball. The Yankees paid him. He wasn't even on scholarship at Michigan because he was paid through. Through the Yankees. So I think finally he just because you know what, I take that back. A lot of guys on that team went to league that year. That's when we had Hutch Steve Hutchinson was first round draft pick. Jeff Backus
offensive lineman.
Exactly.
Backus played for the Lions.
Exactly. Jeff Backus played for the Lions. Mo Williams. Mo Williams for the Jaguars. Dave Terrell ended up leaving and going. So
that's right.
If now looking back at it, Drew was like, I ain't coming back playing on this team. It makes sense. Who's going to block for
instead, me? I'm going to go hit 220 and A-ball and try to chase a curveball.
Hey, but I got
which
paid.
Is not easy.
But exactly. I got paid.
This is true.
It's true. What do you think about the state of the program right now at University of Michigan?
Keep it real.
The Big Ten is interesting.
Right.
The East, it's a grind, man.
Exactly.
It's unfair in a sense. Some people are talking about we need to realign this thing because you hurt yourself with the opportunity to get into the college football playoff. But, I mean, the story for a couple of years has been Coach Harbaugh.
Right.
Harbaugh, who was, you know, out of the gate, won 10 games, and then, man, these guys are going to be right there. It kind of hasn't happened yet. What's the feeling?
It's a couple things. We talked about this earlier. I was talking with Bart Scott about it, and I was like, one, it needs to be the approach, because obviously Ohio State is a game that people are really wanting to see him win. Can you beat Ohio State, especially now with Urban not there? Did you get lucky he's not there? You got to approach the game like they do. They approach it from a 365-day mindset where it's – they can't even say our name with the team up north. And they approach it that way. I think we have to start approaching the game like they do in that way. Like, if they lose, like, they're hurt. They're crushed. If we lose, we're hurt. But, all right, move on.
But when did that happen? Because it wasn't always like that.
It wasn't, but I think it started with Rich Rod. You bring Rich Rod in, who's not really familiar with the Big Ten.
Okay.
You know, he tries to bring the West Virginia system in there. It doesn't work.
Not a Michigan man.
It's 100%. He tried to get rid of the whole tradition. I got stories for days about him.
He tried to get rid of Michigan football tradition?
He basically got rid of our wall. We have a wall of each team. Team. So, like, I was on 115, 16, 17 team. He got rid of all the pictures of those. Like, with the All-American pictures. He got rid of All-American pictures.
Why?
Put up some difference.
I mean, that's your history. That's
dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's what
trying to give the number one jersey to a defensive back who someone has done that recently, but he was the first one to try to do that, and like the program just went like crazy.
Lost its way, lost its soul.
It lost its way.
You
try to find it in Brady Hoke, and then who coached at Michigan, but still didn't necessarily come back. Harbaugh has brought winning back, but at the same time, he's lost games he should win.
And I
think that's the big one. You know, the 4th and 2. They had a lot of questionable calls in that game against Ohio State. You look at the loss against Iowa when we were number 2 or 3 in the country. We shouldn't lose to Iowa, who wasn't good that year. You lose to South Carolina in a bowl game.
Spartans.
Oh, Spartans in the rain. Now, how do you throw 5 interceptions in a monsoon?
Yeah,
in a monsoon,
you
don't
have 55 throw runs. Why are you throwing the ball?
Exactly. And you look at the Ohio State game last year.
Yep.
It was very embarrassing. And you look at the Florida game last year. It was very embarrassing. So he has to do something. He has to do something.
Okay, Braylon Edwards is with us in studio. So you have this great great journey, even though the program's in an interesting spot. Although, listen, Harbaugh is the right guy. I think he's the right guy for the job. But you get past a couple of years of instability, and we just documented that. But you go 3rd overall. So you leave Ann Arbor. Now you go to a franchise that hasn't won in a long time. You told us all fair. You played. You know, we always joke about all the Browns quarterbacks. This guy had the misfortune of playing with 17 quarterbacks.
What?
When you first
I stepped out. Wait,
seventeen quarterbacks
in 4 and
with
a half
the Browns.
Years.
Not with the Jets. 17.
How is that possible
in
4.5 years?
Five year one. There was 5 year two.
That's disgraceful.
There were, you figured out 4 and 3 or 5 and 2.
Let me ask you this. When you first get drafted, you put the hat on, you got the sweet suit, you go to the Browns facility, do you feel as if you're walking into a hopeless environment, or did it take a little while before you figured out that the Browns were a mess back then?
Right. It took me a while. It was still interesting coming there because when I went there, walked in there, you'll hear it in the book, I'm the only one that flew out the night of the draft. So, like, it was you know, some bad weather, you know what I'm saying? So, Alex stayed here, Alex Smith stayed here, Aaron Rodgers stayed here, Antre Rose stayed here, Cedric Benson, rest in peace, stayed here. Cleveland flew me out. We flew right into I'm talking about a blizzard. Snow blizzard.
It's called the foreshadow, my man.
Metaphorically and physically. So it's literally in the middle of April 23rd. We fly into this. I get to the presser. I'm still excited because I just got your 3rd overall. Dreams come true. First question out the gate is, so, Braylon, did you drive your Bentley here? I was like, okay, I see where this is going.
And that's interesting.
That was the very first question I got. No, congratulations, Braylon. hey, my name is Joe Schmo from the Plain Dealer.
Who asked the question? Was it Mary Kay? She wouldn't ask that kind of question.
No, Mary Kay's the best. We had our battles, but she didn't ask questions like that. It was, I can never think of this little short guy.
Okay, I got you. I didn't know if it was top of mind. No big deal. Keep going.
Right. So that was the first question I got. But to your question, when you're a good player, you know, and you're very high and confident on yourself, you feel as though you're the right person for the job. Am I lying?
Yeah, no,
you feel
right.
Like you're right for the job, so you want to. This thing's gonna turn around. This is gonna. I'm gonna start it. I'm gonna be here with me, and we get more people. So I was excited. You know, I didn't care that Cleveland had the reputation or Cleveland was Cleveland Browns. I will find out later that it's just a condition of playing there. Like it's not an environment that's conducive to win. I hope it changes now.
Do you think it's changed?
Week one, I mean, you know, week one is. Yeah. I think that they have the right mindset in terms of they got the right players. I think they're trying to, and what I mean by trying is the management, the ownership. Like, I think they're now making moves to be a catalyst to win the AFC North, to potentially get there. But you got to calm some things down.
Well, you got to have a plan. You can't just say, let's try this.
Right.
Oh, wait, that didn't work. All right, now let's try this. Oh wait, that didn't work. You got to have a plan. You got to stick to it. It feels like now they're trying to just do that. Stick to a plan. Get some talent, because at the end of the day, it's about talent. That's why you get drafted.
True.
You draft it, you know, in the top of the draft. You're going to get a Braylon Edwards, whoever it's going to be. You got to have talent.
You can have Jesus on your team. If Jesus doesn't have a game plan and he doesn't know what the identity is, to your point,
he's not beating the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't know, man. I'll take my chances with him on my team. I haven't won anything at all. Jesus, come on in, brother.
I'm joking. But
come on in.
Yeah, I will too. Hey, everybody, I'm for Jesus. I want to let you know.
Hey, listen, he can play any position he wants. He can kick. We can use a kicker.
In the sandals.
Do they have the right coach? I mean, I Freddie Kitchens, it looks like he admits the right stuff.
You know him at all, Freddie?
I don't know. Actually, I'm not familiar with him.
Seems like a football coach.
What I see, a lot of things seem.
But is he built for this? This is a big stage with a lot of personalities. A couple of yous on the team. You were like that a little bit. Odell, not quite like
that.
But you were mercurial in your own way. You know that.
True, but I came to play though.
I'm not saying you didn't. I'm not saying you dogged it. I'm not saying that at all.
I just came to play though. Like I would talk, do a little bit of talking. I would be, you know, I don't mind jawing, or I don't mind saying the every once in a while locker room material type of quote. But I'm going out there and I'm trying to knock somebody's head off before I catch a pass. I'm gonna catch passes. I'm gonna practice every day. I think that's a big one. Is when you get the guys that are divas, but they're not practicing every day. Then that's when other guys on the team start to notice it. And then that's when the guys on the team start to come together and be like, hey, we don't want this guy on the team. But if you got a guy that's, you know, he's vocal, he's outspoken, he likes to dress a certain way or dance or whatever, this guy's practicing his butt off every week. If this guy is there for you, if Tiki gets in the open field and he knows that, I know Braylon's going to knock this guy on his butt, then it's like, you know, hey. Then they'll support him when they get asked questions about it. It's all support.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. You got to run?
He was a great blocker, too.
All right, good. Hang around for a segment. We're going to take a break. Stay on time.
But, yeah, I was going to ask him, look, you beat me to it. Good stuff. Braylon Edwards is in the studio. So we touched on Michigan, a little bit more on the Browns. Obviously, your stint with the Jets. You played on a really good team that just came up a little short. And even, you know, some of the young quarterbacks now and some of the young wideouts, what you see about the modern NFL. So Braylon's going to stick around another segment. We'll talk more about the NFL coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. And I was just enlightened during the break here. Braylon Edwards is with us here in studio, of course, former third overall pick out of Michigan. We talked about the Browns. We get to the Jets a little bit, of course, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And we're talking about how on football Sundays back in the day, were kids, you know, Catholic mass can be a little long, a little Latin, you know, a lot of Latin. I'm like, you know, I'm running home and I can't wait to, you know, I want to watch football. I was there for an hour.
No.
You guys were there for 3 hours in church on Sundays.
What were you?
Three hours.
I was Baptist. What were you?
Christian?
So
not a denomination.
Yeah,
we were
Baptist. 3 hours in the South. Southern Baptist, I mean, it's forever.
That's a long day,
man. You got the Martin Luther King fan.
What'd you say about the collection plate? Makes its way around twice, right?
Yeah, it comes around a couple times.
And don't let someone start talking in tongues. It's over.
Okay. He's like, you know, we want to send it around again. 10:30 to 1:30. Oh, man. New suits.
All right, so This is amazing. The first Monday night game ever was the Jets and the Browns back in 1970. And we get that tonight. Jets are obviously in a very different position.
Right.
You know, Darnold, he was the hope, and he still is the hope, and mm-hmm. I believe he will be very good. I talked about how when you first went to the Browns, the sense you got from the franchise, when you first went to the Jets, what was your sense of the Jets, who hadn't won and still haven't since Joe Namath in Super Bowl III?
I thought the Jets, I saw the organization. You can just feel like the spirit within the building. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is not just the players, not just the locker rooms, not when you go out there, the coaches and the players. Like the whole energy around the facility, which at the time, I think it was only 2 years old, the new one in Florham Park.
Yep.
Like the people in community relations, like they had good energy, good vibe. The people in media relations, like they were very cool, and like the way we allowed to do interviews, like the lunch people were amazing. Like the training staff was great. Like I came there, I was like, oh, they're about it. Like I felt like something good was gonna happen. Obviously, we went 9-7, made the playoffs. Next year, we really went 11-5 and did it. But you can feel a good sense of energy and know what an organization is gonna be just by like everybody in the building, not just the players. But the players, they came to play.
Yeah.
We got in, we got out, we worked hard.
Yeah, but it was short-lived. And we were talking about Mark Sanchez. They put him in a little bit of a tough situation. I mean, yeah. No, Sanchez.
You said short-lived. Yeah. I said, get the Tannenbaum.
Yeah, exactly.
No, of course
the
Tannenbaum.
Put him in a tough situation. And then it spiraled. When it spiraled, it spiraled, like, fast and hard. And then Rex is out. And then all the next thing you know, they're trying to climb their way back up. I've always been curious about this. Obviously, being a Giant in New York, New Jersey, I should say, it's always felt like Giant country here.
It is,
right? But the Jets are here.
True.
And there's a trend towards equality. Was there ever that feeling of inferiority over there relative to the Giants?
I don't think it. I think that would be a better suited question for after me or right before me. Because when I was there, we were the team in New York.
Yeah,
I mean, and when I mean by New York, I'm talking about the Giants. I'm talking about the professional sports team. Everybody sucked.
Yep. Except the Yankees.
I was just about to say, except the Yankees.
Don't defend my squad. Don't make my squad look bad. I've seen you wearing a Yankee hat.
I love the Yankees.
More than the Tigers coming from Michigan?
I love the Tigers and Yankees equally, but I don't love either as more than I love the Braves. I lived in Atlanta for 6 years.
You guys got three baseball teams. Hey, what do you pick who's good on any given year? What do you mean you got three teams?
I lived in Atlanta for 6 years when
so
I was younger.
What? Where are you from? Come on.
He grew up in Atlanta.
I moved in Atlanta when I was six. I moved back to Detroit when I was 12. When I was six, I saw the best pitching staff ever.
Right. Oh, here we go. You mean the team that lost to us in the World Series? That team back in 96? Talking about Maddox and Glavine and those boys?
Smoltz.
That Smoltzy?
It's all good. They got smoked, but they figured it out with Andrew Jones and Chipper Jones.
I got you.
By the way, that's why I was a Braves fan growing up.
It was ridiculous. And they were on TBS
every day.
But I didn't feel the inferiority because we were good at that time.
Yeah.
You guys weren't, and we were kind of holding it down for the city, with the exception of your Yanks. But you can get the sense from the fans that they feel inferior. Like, that's what I will say. The fans, like, you mentioned the Giants. It's Meanwhile, if we were talking to Giants fan, it's not the same. Giants fan,
It's true. It's kind of like how the Yankees look at the Mets.
Exactly.
I'm a Jet fan. I get it. Yeah. This is a Giants, and it has been for a long time. Now, Giants, they've lost their way, and maybe this changes at some point. But there's no doubt it's Giants town. All right, Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Give me your all-encompassing view of everything. How he handled himself with the Raiders. Do you believe he should have played this past yesterday with the Pats? Or Antonio Brown?
I think he's first and foremost a tremendous talent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to deny. His work ethic is second to none on the football field. A lot of guys work hard, but he's different. He has that Kobe-type work ethic. He's a good father. Like, you always see him with his kids. He's always showing love to his kids. He's always doing that. Got to say positive first.
Okay.
I think that he might need to see a therapist. Like, I think I watch him and do a lot of things. I hear a lot of things of him, and it's screaming out that this guy needs some professional help. And that's my honest to God opinion of it. I think the way he handled the Raiders situation was disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful and classless, if I'm being honest. And I don't use that a lot to other wide receivers, but I think it was disrespectful. I think he should have played at the end of the day. I mean, it's a business. Yeah.
It's entertainment.
Right. That's what we're doing. I just think that he needs to see a therapist, see somebody, and pull him back. Because I think one thing that the NFL is allowed to do now is you're allowed to brand yourself. Like, back in the day, you kind of really couldn't brand yourself, mm-hmm. like, around the time when you were yep. first starting. It was like, if Nike...
Tiki found a way. He had some good endorsements.
Well, you know what? Because I did it Cadillac, outside of football.
Exactly.
I was doing stuff outside of... had nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
If you're
That's
not,
true.
If you're not, you know, if Nike or Gatorade is not coming to you back then you kind of, like, nothing. Now, with social media, with the internet being, you know, so many brands, so many things out there, you can brand yourself. And I think some guys are branding themselves, not necessarily too much, but... where they're forgetting about what got you there.
Yeah.
And now it's a battle. I got to brand myself, but I also got to represent the franchise, and sometimes they clash, and when they clash is when you're doing it wrong. They should never clash. You should be able to brand yourself, mm-hmm. make money for yourself, your family, et cetera, but you should be there for your team, and you should be, you know, an intricate part of what the team is trying to do.
I think that's why it gets disconnected with him, because you know he's an unbelievable talent.
Right.
But at the end of the day, football is the team game. Right, baseball is a team game, but not really. You know what I mean? Basketball, you can win with one or two great players.
Right.
You don't have to depend. Like, your center could go stand in the corner for 90% of the game. It's not going to have an impact. Football, you got to depend on everybody. And if you're not there emotionally and in full, it just comes off weird. And I wonder, and I'm thinking about your book, Doing It My Way, My Outspoken Life, because you were outspoken like I was, as a Michigan Wolverine, NFL receiver, and beyond. Like, there's this perception about really good wide receivers. You almost got to be a diva.
Right.
Because the confidence, like, you have to build your confidence. Is there a role for that? Because we see it with so many of the really, Odell to an extent. Right.
Julio Jones is pretty quiet.
Julio Jones is the exception.
Him and so DeAndre, is DeAndre Hopkins.
And DeAndre Hopkins. But it's few.
So is Michael Thomas. Three of the best in the game.
Yeah, but hold on. Michael Thomas was a second-round draft pick who nobody expected was going to be who he was.
Antonio Brown was the fourth draft pick.
I know, but look at Antonio Brown now is my point. You know what I mean? So it's become a cliche.
Right.
So it's not the rule. But it's a cliche. Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of those receivers that have gone that route have either one played for huge markets,
mm-hmm.
or they've been someone that had to prove why they got there. So you look at a guy like Randy Moss, who's outspoken too.
Yeah,
Randy Moss was pissed off. He was pissed off all those teams passed on him. They thought he was a knucklehead. They thought he was a butthole. He said, "Okay, cool, I'll be that," as well as be the arguably greatest wide receiver of all time. Look at Antonio Brown. He's been trying to prove himself since going to Central and not the big school. Now he has to show himself at Pittsburgh. Is he the better receiver out of him, Emmanuel Sanders, and I can't think of the other one.
Mike Wallace was there.
Mike Wallace was there.
Davis Bryant.
You look at Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens goes to Chattanooga. Goes to small school, Tennessee Chattanooga. Then he goes to San Fran. And is he Jerry Rice? Is he better than J.J. Stokes? Can he outlast Ty Streaks? Well, then he does it. And he does the same thing. So you're seeing a pattern. Chad Ochocinco goes to JUCO.
Yeah.
Or you get a guy like Odell. He's in New York in the time like this. Like with this media, with the nay-nay and the flossing and all that. This is the media time for a guy like him with social media to be in a city like New York where everybody is focusing in on.
Let me see.
So my thing is, if you're trying to prove something or big market, I think those are guys you get.
It's interesting.
It is very interesting take, and it's Braylon Edwards with us here in studio. Listen, at the end of the day, it's only a watch, but it's deeper than that. You know, you want to wear it the first game. All right, they're going to give you a little pop. I'll make some money.
You got like $11 million of brand like equity for that watch.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you, but still.
If he would have had 150 and they win, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I would. Knowing me, I would have mentioned it. I wouldn't have belabored it.
The masses wouldn't have.
Maybe.
Like, I'm watching Chris Broussard. I watched his rant about it, and I'm like,
I didn't hear what Chris. I know Chris. I didn't hear what Chris said, but I'm probably more in line.
At the end of the day, it's
selfish,
watch.
Though, Braylon.
But
why would you do that? And he's gonna wear it tonight.
Okay, so
it's selfish. It's stupid. It's unnecessary.
But why is it selfish? Let me debate you on this. Why is it selfish?
It's selfish because number one, nobody else is doing it. I mean, no one else is doing it on the team.
Deshaun Watson had a big diamond chain that said 815.
It's all good.
That came out 2 weeks ago in the game. It came out 25 times, but he played a heck of a game.
Right.
They should have won. He found Kenny Stills late in that game. They should have won. The way he's a quiet guy. A lot of people love and respect. Nobody had anything to say. That's a diamond chain versus a rubber plastic watch.
Yeah, but don't you think? First of all, if a rubber plastic watch is $200,000, I don't know that it's made of rubber, but it's probably more platinum.
It's the inner workings.
Yeah. I got you, but it's a distraction. They lose. They gave up 40 points to the Titans. They played terribly. Baker regressed. And now for a week they're getting questions. What about the watch? What about the watch? What about the watch? I understand that there are a lot of people who didn't play the game like you guys did. Admittedly, that take something small and make it into a huge mess. And I'm probably guilty of that on occasion as well.
Yeah.
But you know what? There comes a time just to conform.
But let me promise you this.
Conform.
Let me promise you this, and Braylon, you will back this up 100%. If you had a guy, even if it was the diva on your team that wore a watch, you would actually be like, oh, that's cool.
I wish I thought of that.
Exactly. I'm serious.
I wish I thought of that.
It does not affect. Not affecting the Browns locker room at all.
No, I don't think it is. Not I'll be fair with that, but it's. You know, you bring up Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson hasn't had one public, misstep or indiscretion. Odell Beckham Jr., while I know he's a really good person,
he's been a distraction.
He's not abusing women. He's not doing drugs. Ground. There's no DWIs. There's nothing dangerous about his life.
Yeah,
but,
you're right.
I mean, he's going to be 30 soon, and he's still a child sometimes.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
He likes the attention. Anything wrong with that?
I like attention. We well have to with
just tell the lineman to stop jumping off sides. We won't have these issues.
Always passing the buck, these wide receivers.
Doing it my way. My outspoken life as a Michigan Wolverine NFL receiver and beyond. I'm looking forward to the beyond. You got some cool stuff working in the works.
I can't wait to read, man. So
including
far,
in Detroit, which a lot of people think is perpetually in the doldrums. It's actually turning.
Turn the corner, man. Like Detroit will rival probably any city, with the exception of this one, the big one, in 10 years, any city.
It's a big statement. You know, I got a lot of love for Detroit. I always, anytime it comes up on the show, you and I were talking off air. I used to live in Troy, West Bloomfield, Birmingham. The suburbs are great. No, the suburbs are great. The goal and the incentive was to get downtown revitalized, around Greektown and all that, and they have. It's coming. Yeah. I'm happy for Detroit. That's good to hear.
It's going to be fun. Now we got to get some teams that can win some games.
Oh, God. Matthew Stafford, do you think it's time for the Lions to maybe start looking a little bit? So we got to take a break here. But, I mean, at what point does it expire? He hasn't won anything yet.
It's tough because the Lions organization, I know how they operate. It's more of a business, more so than trying to win Super Bowls. They haven't always put the best people around him. Mm-hmm. Like, you give him all this money, but then you don't put an offensive line around him for years. Finally gets an inkling of a running game. Kerryon Johnson, supposedly, who hasn't played well yet. So, I mean, you've kind of pigeonholed him. So a lot of it's not his fault. Then you get Calvin Johnson. You don't really put anybody opposite of Calvin Johnson, et cetera, so he can spread the ball around and learn how to play with other people. Mm-hmm. He just learned how to close his eyes and throw Hail Marys to Calvin. So it's not all his fault, but there are a lot of things that he should have grown out of by now. So I think it's both their faults. A little bit more Matt Stafford.
Well, listen, the Red Wings, they won a couple of cups. The Pistons went back-to-back with the bad boys.
What have you done for me lately?
But the Lions haven't done anything. I mean, the Tigers in 84, they were 35-5 to start the season. They win the World Series. They should have won it in 87. I know they're down the last 2-3. And Tigers handled their business for a while as well.
They did.
Lions are a doormat.
They just need a bullpen. If they would have ever got a bullpen, Tigers would have won 3 easy.
They had a lot of weapons. I can't disagree. Hey, great spot, man. Great spots. Plural. Two segments.
Appreciate you, Braylon.
Braylon Thank Edwards. You. Doing it my way. Jets and Browns. 5 seconds. Who wins the game tonight? Go.
Browns. 28-10.
Yeah, nice. Whatever. Get out of here. All right, let's get the update for Mac. And we'll come back. We have inbounds, out of bounds right after that. Here's Rich Ackerman. Okay, time now for Doing More. Brought to you by the Home Depot. The next generation of home improvement. Everything you need to do to projects, get them smarter. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing as we take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about a little college? And how about a lot of Notre Dame offense was humming this past weekend against mighty New Mexico. Quarterback Ian Book finished the game with almost 400 yards passing and 6 total touchdowns, 5 in the air. He put one in on the ground as well. So in 2 games thus far this season, Book has yet to throw a pick. That's obviously great. And he's going to have to remain close to perfect for the Fighting Irish to remain unbeaten. They take on number 3, Georgia. Now the games start getting a little real here, Mr. Barber. By the way, nice job by you guys over the weekend taking out Florida State.
Thank you. They figured out a way to win it.
Covered the spread, too. And that Notre Dame-Georgia game is on CBS, which is extra special, 8 Eastern. So we got a lot cooking. I'm going to ask the question. We'll do this coming up 5 Eastern. Obviously, a little more on the Browns and the Jets. We need to scan around the rest of the NFL, you know, aside from Ben and aside from Drew Brees and the other injuries here, you know, Dak and Lamar and obviously Patrick Mahomes, some great quarterback play. But also this question, will the Dolphins wind up being the worst team in the history of the NFL? I poured through some numbers, and I want to run something by you. They very well might be. So, yeah. They might be.
This point differential already is atrocious.
I don't know how they charge their fan base full ticket prices. I don't know how they do this with a straight face. Really?
Yeah, you're right.
How do they do that down
112
there?
112 to 10 in the Sampton. I knew it was something. I knew I could have figured it out in my math. Thanks for doing the math, Sampton, for me. But 112 to 10 in 2 weeks. Why would you go?
No, I don't know. That's a very good.
Who are you watching getting developed? I mean, the only thing that you can point to is that Minkah Fitzpatrick, who wanted to be traded, actually played free safety instead of strong safety this week, and he played okay.
But he's motivated to play well, so somebody trades for him.
Yeah, you're right.
Probably.
Right? But seriously, who are you watching in this game saying, "Oh, I want that guy"? Or that's our future.
It's
nobody.
It's hopeless, seemingly right now, at least.
That's bad. 43 to zip.
That's disgraceful. All right, inbounds, out of bounds. You ready, Tate?
I am.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, let's go. A couple of years ago, the Jaguars had a young star-studded defense that some people actually said could possibly, if they're healthy and they meet their potential, could maybe rival somebody like the 85 Bears if things go well. However, not going too well. Some issues again here in Jacksonville as the defense is not living up to expectations on the field. And once again, all-pro corner Jalen Ramsey is making some noise off the field. Ramsey, who wants a new contract, we know this, he wants to get paid, can't blame him on that. But he was seen shoving head coach Doug Marrone away during a heated exchange, though, of course, post-game, the head coach downplayed it.
There's a lot of motion in the game, I'm sure. I don't know. I can't recall.
It looked like a couple of players had to separate you. Is that an unusual amount of frustration? Or
I can't even recall. I mean, it's a lot of emotion on that field, playing a division game.
All right, so the ice is probably starting to crack maybe a little bit beneath his feet. People thought Doug Marrone might lose his job a year ago, and things going a little sideways quick. In or out, the Jaguars should trade Ramsey for assets rather than give him a new contract.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this one, BT. Look, there's some issues going on with this team. Yannick Ngakoue didn't play. He was out with a hamstring injury, so they're not full strength, but that's not the big issue. They're going through a little bit of a transition, obviously, on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Gardner Minshew, the mustached one, had more rushing yards than Leonard Fournette did in this game. So things aren't quite clicking on either side of this ball. And so, with that being said, if you have a, I'll use the quote or the, you know, the term that people like to use for a guy like Ramsey, a shutdown corner, you keep him because it's one of the key positions you need, especially when there's a thought, and you alluded to this, BT, that Doug Marrone might not be the head coach next year. So if there's issues, it's Marrone might be the one out, not Ramsey. So I'm saying out of bounds.
Pardon me, Teague. Yeah, who's more expendable in that equation? Obviously, the all-pro shutdown, again, quotes around the word shutdown in the modern NFL corner as compared to the somewhat transient, I mean, mildly, and that's kind of being a little bit favorable to Doug, head coach, Bills, and, of course, the Jaguars. So I'm going to still say I'm going to say inbounds that they should trade him, though. I think that they can use somebody's desperation here and maybe parlay this into something interesting. The one thing that really gives you pause, he's still so young. He's only 24.
Right.
But that's going to get you a lot more back in terms of any trade. He doesn't seem happy here, and maybe a new coach would change that, but listen, Fournette's a bust. I mean, they don't have the running back of the future, although you can find those. You can get a middle-round running back sometimes, and he becomes the guy. Do they have a franchise wide receiver? I mean, Westbrook's okay. I mean, do they have a
Marquise Lee can't stay healthy.
True.
I mean,
true.
No.
Do they have a franchise quarterback?
No.
No. So I just think they've got a lot of holes, and he would bring so many assets, they might be able to patch up some of those holes.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm going to say inbounds. That's a tough one, though.
Get some draft equity and then build from there. Have a plan.
Basically. Or maybe another frontline player plus draft equity, you know?
Are you in or are you out?
All right. How about a little baseball? Despite two MVPs and 3 second-place finishes, it's amazing to think what Mike Trout's done so far. He was having maybe his best season ever, despite the great start already. I mean, to say this might be his best season is really saying something. Sadly, though, Trout's going to miss the rest of the season. He's got a foot injury that requires surgery, and there's nerve damage, which there's a nerve issue, I should say, which is obviously far more complex and less predictable than something like a joint or a tendon or a ligament or something. I don't like hearing that. Trout finishes the season with a career-high 45 bombs, 104 RBIs, and a third straight season with an OPS over 1,000. So, in or out, despite missing the last 3 weeks of the season, Mike Trout will win the MVP award.
Man, this is a shame. We mentioned this earlier, BT. I'm going to say inbounds. Christian Yelich, who was on par to be maybe the back-to-back NL MVP, he's out for the season. Trout is also out for the season. So I'm going to say yeah, because, there, I mean, there weren't a ton of options that were having, you know, breakout seasons that would compare to what he was doing. Maybe Bregman you put into the conversation. But yeah, I'm going to say inbounds. Mike Trout has been phenomenal. But the bigger issue here is this is the fourth season, I believe, that Mike Trout hasn't played, maybe fifth, has not played 140 games. And so there might be like an injury thing that we need to worry about here with Mike Trout. We're not taking away how great he is.
No way.
But
I got you.
He's under 140 is a little alarming for a guy who's not old.
Yeah, some of them have been, you know, when he jammed his hand sliding, that's just unfortunate. The nerve that, you know, I don't know how you operate on nerves. I honestly don't know how you do it. You can desensitize nerves. You can't, to my knowledge, and I've studied the back a ton, unfortunately, you can't operate on nerves. So that you worry about it. You just have to hope it regenerates and it almost heals itself here.
That's right.
It could be a big problem. I really worry about that. Specific to the question, he's going to win it. I just don't see the challenger. You know, think
you're
about
right.
It's
a reach for Bregman.
He's a great fielder. He's had a hell of a
fantastic
year.
Fantastic. He's bounced around. He's had to play shortstop because Correa's been out. So
Correa's always out. He's been hurt a lot, too. Altuve missed, 35, 40 games? He was out a little bit for the Astros. You know, Judge missed time. He doesn't have the big-time number. Stanton's missed the whole season. The Red Sox, Mookie Betts has taken a step back. I mean, the elite teams in the American League, I don't see anybody. And then you look at some of the, you know, like Jose Abreu, Jorge Soler. They've had good seasons on bad teams. I'm going to say Mike Trout's going to win it again, and I'm okay with that.
Are you in or are you out?
Wahoo wah. Get you it like up that. There, Teague.
Wahoo wah.
Little who's, hashtag who's. I gave you a shout-out on TV yesterday.
I heard that.
On Tops, I gave you a little shout-out. Thanks to Tiki's Wahoos, Florida State. And Willie Taggart lost another big game, dropping them to 1-2 on the season. They very well could be 0-3. I mean, Louisiana Monroe missed a chippy point after.
Right.
They lost 45-44,
in
whatever
overtime,
it was,
right?
In overtime. So there's now, this is ridiculous, prompting a 4-year-old to set up a free Willie lemonade stand to raise money for the Noles to buy out the embattled. This is just disrespectful. And this is, come on. On the other side of the country, Chip Kelly's dropped to 0-3. They're
it
bad.
Is kind of cute, though.
It is cute, but it's the parent pushing this, which is what I don't like.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the 4-year-old's industrious or ambition. But Chip Kelly, they're a disaster. I mean, they stink. And they stunk since week one against Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So they lose 48-14. Most teams will lose to Oklahoma. They just don't show any offense. In or out, Chip Kelly's been a bigger disappointment in L.A. than Taggart in Tallahassee.
I'm going to say
good
inbounds
question,
here.
Mike.
By the way, Jalen Hurts, another 289-yard day, 3 touchdowns through the air, 150 rushing yards, and another touchdown on the ground. It looks like Lincoln Riley is grooming another Heisman Trophy winner here at quarterback. Jalen Hurts having an unbelievable season, by the way. But I'm going to say inbounds here, mainly because – look, Willie Taggart, we knew that this was going to take a little bit of time. There was some patience that you had to preach here. But at UCLA, Chip Kelly is known as this guru and this guy who can create magic with not only his off and in locker room, off field, but also in locker room processes, but also with quarterbacks. And maybe he has the wrong quarterback. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson, we talked about him, this kid multiple times. And maybe that's it.
No, it's his fault.
But it's his fault. Yeah. And not only that, he's continuing to let him play.
Yeah.
And without question, you know, but nobody gets any other options here. And so it's this has got to be on Chip Kelly. He's supposed to be a QB guy, and he's not showing up.
I'm still going to say out of bounds, and I'm going to lean on one very important impediment that Chip Kelly has to deal with that Willie Taggart does not: academics.
Mm.
It's a big difference. Different standards.
Good point.
So I think that's very problematic. Trust me, it's close. I mean, it's one thing if they were losing 50-40. You'd be like, okay, at least Chip Kelly's doing his thing. There's a dearth of offense. There's a reported disconnect with the boosters. I'm not saying Chip Kelly's doing anything good. He's not. But I got to tell you, you know, Willie Taggart, now I mentioned this quickly on Friday, but I didn't actually give you the numbers. 16-20 at Western Kentucky, 24-25 at South Florida, 7-5 at Oregon, 6-9 at Florida State. You know, we were worried that Willie Taggart was going to get the short end of the stick because he's African American. We were worried about that. Willie Taggart might not just be that good of a head coach.
Yeah,
call it for what it is.
I hear you.
Four schools, he's really done nothing. Third hour coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.